Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told. So I'm going to tell it. Broomgate. How a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word. Broomgate.
Hey, this is Craig Custance of The Athletic, joined... Oh, are you dancing? It looks like you have intro music going. I like the energy this morning, Sean.
I'm high energy today, baby. I'm making
high,
up for...
With a rare high energy appearance from Sean Gentile.
I'm making up for being half asleep for the first 15 minutes of our interview with the wonderful John Buchagrass.
Oh, we had a great talk with John Buchagrass. Here's what seems to be happening with this podcast. We record the guests first. It goes really long because those are the best. And so then we're just basically like, hey, let's sandwich a couple of segments. Because really, the interviews are the best. I love those.
You're just turning this into the full 60 part
two. Full 60.
With me. With me, like me in the Artie Lang role or whatever.
That's right.
Like I'm in the booth like saying goofy stuff and making jokes, and you're doing all the heavy lifting. That's the way it should be.
It's like, you know what would make the full 60 better? If it was 30 minutes and Craig and Sean stepped on each other asking questions. That's what would...
what was up? Okay.
I don't know what was going on with him.
Because I think we both had stuff we wanted to ask him, right?
We were both really excited to talk to John.
That's one of the
like,
big...
Really, like legitimately, like we both were like dying to ask questions. Never happens. Usually Sean... Especially when you were on West Coast, when you were in Seattle and we were recording that stretch. I forgot who the guest was.
It was Don Waddell. I think he was getting ready to send a wellness check to Seattle just to make sure I was okay. No, this is the big story of the first chunk of the season here, isn't it?
Yeah.
For us, at least. In the States, it is.
Like the ESPN? Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's like we've hit it on it in this podcast before when it happened, but like the promos are better. I saw like I'm watching a Monday Night Football game, and there's the best hockey promo I've seen in the States in my lifetime.
No joke. I think I tweeted about this. Ironically, it was when I was in Seattle. I've become a freak who watches wrestling again. I've been watching AEW wrestling on TNT. Uh-huh. And when I was watching that in my hotel room. That TNT promo that they cut and that they showed whatever, like after a match or something, it was the first one. It was the first TNT, you know, shot like that.
Yeah.
And it was 10 times better than anything we saw on NBC in 15 years.
Better.
And there's like I'm not even trying to be a smartass about it, right? Like that's mm-hmm. just, that's the score. That's the way it is. Like this is, it's already better. They're kind of putting their flag in the ground. I think it's clear that the quality is absolutely going to be there. The commitment's going to be there.
Yeah.
And I think Bucci is he's a great example of that because he's going to have the weekly show and he's going to have, you know, he's open to doing all sorts of stuff, which he'll talk about on streaming and all that. It's a fun time. And it's not to sound like a shill for ESPN or Turner Sports,
Jeez,
right?
My goodness. But, don't forget we work for The Athletic, Sean. My goodness.
A rising tide lifts all boats, my friend.
Amen.
This is how we're all gonna get rich is having Charles Charles Barkley talk about hockey games. No, I'm psyched about it. And Bucci was great. We got a scouting report on some of his new teammates there at the end. But he was a blast.
Still waiting on my Donnie Meatballs shirt to wear live. I'm excited about that order.
I actually didn't buy it yet. It's $29.95. So it's a
good cost. What you were like? I'm in for $19, but
I bought it. Hold on a second. I bought a $29.95 T-shirt here.
Oh gosh, what is this?
This is Norm MacDonald and Artie Lang.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that was $29.95. So I gotta drop the money on the patron saint of the Athletic Americans Hour, right?
That's right. I hate that it took Norm MacDonald dying for me to introduce him to the kids here, Cormac telling the moth joke is now my new favorite thing around the house. I don't know if you're like he'll be like, hey, a moth goes to a podiatrist. And
Cormac.
And he goes through the whole thing. What's going on,
Gregory Vinovich?
Every day of my existence, and he thought that was the funniest thing, and so now he's telling it, and now like just the concept of the, you know, the long build up to a dumb punchline.
All three kids are tied for first place, but that's a major. That's a major move from Cormac into Uncle Sean's direction.
Oh my gosh. I want you, the listener, I'm speaking now specifically to the listener, not Sean. I'm breaking through the when Bucci is going to be doing a show called The Point. When Sean asks him about that show, I want you to count how many times Sean uses the word point. not even in reference to the name, but point of view he worked it in. It's a good point. I wanted to raise the point. Paying producer Jeff real money, he would put a little bell with every point. I thought you were like doing a bit. I'm like,
no, the one time was a bit, but I didn't, it sounds like I was closing on double digits there. That wasn't,
I think you, I will have to go listen, put it in the comment section. Whoever counts, I want to know. I'm not going to, I won't go back and listen, but I do want to know how many times he worked pointing to the question. Okay, we're like, hey, let's do a nice tight first segment before we get, and we haven't even started. So here's what we're going to do in our first segment. Let's do a nice tight first segment by telling the longest joke in Conan O'Brien history. And if you Google that, if you're not familiar with what we're talking about, Google the moth and Norm MacDonald, and then imagine a 10-year-old telling it at dinner. it's so good. Couple things we wanted to, I saw Lundqvist. I'm not a big, you know, jersey retirement, whatever, like everyone does it, but you know, they announced Lundqvist is going to have his jersey retired, and why that was important. It's going to happen January 28th at MSG when Rangers play the Wild. But Sean and I just have had that was, you know, Henrik's career was right in the heart of both of us out mm-hmm. covering the biggest games together. So I think we both were like, oh, Lundqvist, like that's one of those guys. Like it's going to be the same thing with Sid and Ovi and who we talk about with John. But we've covered some amazing Lundqvist games. So before we get to that interview, I do want to say, is there a game that stands out to you that Henrik Lundqvist, that you were at, that you physically saw him?
It's the triple overtime
game
against the Caps in DC in the semis in 2012. Man, That was special for a lot of reasons. It was a 2-1 win by the Caps, so obviously he was out of his mind during it. Ryan McDonough played, 86 minutes or however long it was. I remember a bunch of us got Chinese food afterwards. And
was that night?
Yes.
At like 4 a.m.
we had to convince them
to bring beer back out.
We were drinking beer out of a teapot. I remember me.
They had to hide it in a tea kettle.
Yes, it was Dave Lozo, Katie Strang, Sarah Kwok was there. It was just like, it was a great group.
Imagine that table. At 4 a.m. after us covering,
That was the first series that I covered as a writer on the road. I think that was the first game, right? So that's memorable stuff, and I think that sort of speaks to, the kind of career that Lundqvist had. He had five straight game seven wins, and I watched him kill the Penguins here in 2014. Mm. That was a series that he never gave him a prayer in. So this guy was, a metronome, I think, for us. Like he was the soundtrack of a lot of really important stuff. So yeah, I'm gonna miss him. I think it's a weird sort of realization over the last couple months with him retiring. Like, I don't know. Last year just felt fake for so many reasons, right? Like it didn't count, and that everyone was taking a mulligan, and that everyone would be back, and it's happened in a lot of cases, but not with him. So the goodbye wasn't what anybody expected, but it's good to see that he's healthy and ready to roll in the next phase of his life. But it's a weird sort of anticlimactic send off.
Yeah, it was like whenever he won like a million game seven, there's that stretch. Mm-hmm. And I just hope people realize, just how great he was. I hope time is good to Henrik Lundqvist, because there was that stretch where he was the best goalie in the league. And it didn't happen in terms of a Stanley Cup, but you just knew this guy was on another plane.
First 11 seasons in the league, his save percentage dipped below .916 once. So he was he was rock solid, right? Like he never had a valley, and his peak was, a 930 save percentage year where he won the Vezina and a bunch of game seven wins. I mean, he was a special player. And the reason he doesn't have a ring is through no fault of his own. They just couldn't quite get over the mountain with him there. So yeah, happy trails to him. It's been a long road for all of us with him, I think.
My favorite running joke, so when we talk about it with Bucci, is, every year the NHL gathers the top players in the league and they bring the media in, and we all do, we call it the car wash. And Lundqvist was the Rangers representative like 10 straight years. And when we were at ESPN, Scott Burns said, we always would give Lundqvist to Scott, like you would assign a writer to a player, and would always make the same joke about, sorry about you being the second best looking person in the interview. And Lundqvist Lundqvist was always up for it and was ready for it. And it was just, that marked the season. And great, complete side note, great to see Scotty making the announcement with DFO Hockey and Frank Saravalli's outfit that he's launching a podcast with Mike McKenna, which would be awesome.
Those are good people doing good work.
That's awesome. So yeah, I love that about Lundqvist. The second thing I wanted to jam into this opening segment that, again, already too long, and maybe we shouldn't even do it, but I wanted to talk about it, is Doug Armstrong signs a 5-year contract extension with the Blues. And I'm fascinated by this stretch of time for him, because I don't know and maybe there's an example of a GM that's done this well, that's had to follow up a cup-winning team with either the rebuild or knowing when to pull the plug. And is there an example of a GM navigating this in the cap era, this 5-year stretch that Doug Armstrong is about to hit, doing it well? Like Ken Holland wasn't able to really pull it off in Detroit. Chiarelli couldn't do it. Yeah. Like
a bunch of guys have bailed on it. Rutherford isn't going to be around for it.
Rutherford didn't. Stan Bowman, maybe?
Dean Lombardi wasn't around long enough. I think Bowman is as close as we have, and he's sort of in it right now. I think this is like
jury's out, right?
Maybe in a few months we have a comparable for what Doug Armstrong's about to kind of, the sort of challenge he's about to undertake. But yeah, it's wild. It's typically GMs don't last that long,
right?
And they either bow out on the attempt at a rebuild or lose their jobs. So it is. It's an interesting kind of space for them to exist in.
Yeah, I'm part of me wonders if you should let the GM, not let, and maybe they've earned the right, but if that's the person that should be in charge of the teardown or the eventual rebuild that has to come that of the championship teams, because you have to be so cutthroat or so detached from it to, in order to pull it off. And, you know, like Dean Lombardi's like a super loyal guy and like mm-hmm. Ken Holland's a loyal guy. And so you end up signing guys to you reward players for their contributions, maybe even not even consciously. I don't like, is the move to Ray Shero it where you're like, you remove him and Bilesma from the equation and say, okay, we're going to bring in somebody else. I don't know. Like,
I think it's tough. I think you need to walk into that with, that's one of those situations that calls for just so much communication between ownership mm-hmm. and a front office or a POHO and a GM or whatever. They got to be on the same page. You can't have any sort of, you know, ambiguity or disagreement over the route. And I think like you look at what happened in Pittsburgh last year with Jim Rutherford. At some point everybody's going to know what went down there. But there was, you know, it just boiled down to some philosophical differences. I think that's safe to say, and that's a great example. Like Jim had one idea for how he wanted to navigate the end of this, the end of the Penguins' run, and you know, ownership had another. That's really what it boils down to, and it's not a coincidence that he's not there anymore. Those are tough waters to navigate.
Yeah, I mean, Doug Armstrong clearly still in win mode. Like we're talking about tearing it down, and they, you know, he's adding pieces. Tory Krug last year and Bucinavich this year.
They're not going to be very good.
Brandon Saad. Like so, they're taking one last run at it, and then the problem becomes okay, if it doesn't work, you're saddled with some long contracts. It's not an easy 5-year stretch to navigate. So I'll be fascinated to see how that plays out for the Blues. Probably I don't know. We'll see. The one thing I will caveat to wrap put a bow on this is was that phrase banned? That sounds like something that would be banned by listeners. Put a bow on it. It should be.
Caveat might be. We're stacking them up today, baby.
The one thing I would say is Doug Armstrong. It, part of his MO is he knows when to fold them, right? Like at the trade deadline, through the years has always been decisive when things aren't going well. And so maybe that will reflect in how he navigates these 5 years. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It'll be interesting to see. I don't think they're going to be too good this year, but whatever. It's worth one last run at it. One last bite at the apple.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break, and we're going to talk to John Buccigross of ESPN and The Point. Remember, count the points.
Point.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
We are now thrilled to be joined by former teammate of mine, John Buccigross, who, you know him from everything. I don't even know where to start here. But from here forward, you're going to know him mostly from his fine work on The Point, which is going to be, an E60 produced high-end NHL hockey show on ESPN. John, I'm so happy to have you. I mean, you're always in the fold in the hockey space, but it's great to officially have you. Welcome.
Good to be here, boys. I listen all the time. Love everything you do at The Athletic, and it's my honor to be on your fine product.
Well, first of all, John, Sean and I both ordered last week Donnie Meatballs t-shirts so we could have matching t-shirts when we're recording this in honor of Donnie Granato. But you showing up in a Breonna Decker t-shirt, jersey, USA shirt wins, and we all have to order those now. That's a great look. So congratulations on that.
Well, you told me it was USA themed a bit, I think. So I wanted to wear something in case there was a video element. But yeah, Brianna had these on sale, I think like maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I have worn this t-shirt more than any t-shirt guaranteed in that time. I just love it. I love how it fits. It's soft. I the USA thing. You wear it to a bar in Ohio. I can wear it to a, you know, to wherever, to the beach. So it's a very versatile shirt. I love the material. It's awesome. And I look at my phone. I look at all these pictures of, you know, where I've been the last 4 or 5 years. This t-shirt's on 60% of the time. I love, it's kind of, I look like a patriotic hobo half the time. Wait, going across the country.
Do you have backups? Like, I've started doing that. When I find a shirt I like, I'm like, give me two or three. I'm going to run this into the ground. It's going to be threadbare soon.
Exactly. Whether it's a pair of shoes, I've always spoken that philosophy. I should buy three of those, or I should buy two of those, and I never do. But you're right. Once I liked it this much, I should have just bought three more, stash them away. But it's holding up good. It's holding up pretty well. So I'm very pleased.
My big plan was to play you in by like humming the NHL on ESPN theme, but I don't know if anybody wants that. But
Sean,
like, what?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's a rote question to ask at this point. But how excited are you about this, man? Because I know I am as a product of the '90s and a product of watching the work you guys did with the league back then. This is great, and I can't imagine anybody's more excited about it than you are.
Yeah, the first thing people ask is about the music. Certainly, we are bringing it back. It is going to be part of our coverage, and so certainly it was. You know, I felt the momentum that it was possible it would come back at one point, especially when we got the World Cup and we did that a few years back in Toronto, and then you start to get word that looks real good. But yeah, it really couldn't have happened better for me at this stage of my career to be this excited about something. You know, I've been in the biz for 32 years, ESPN for 25, and you know, I'm 55 years old, and to be this pumped about going to work again, that's kind of rare, I think, for any occupation. You know, very rare do you come across a 55-year-old second grade teacher going, yeah, another year, I can't wait to work 7 more years. But for me, it's like my battery's full, so I don't mind taking those flights and going to games, and the chance to do a bunch of play-by-play here, at least in the early part of the season, I'm so excited for. I can't believe it's actually happening, to grow up listening to NHL games on the radio, growing up around Pittsburgh, listening to Mike Lang, but also listening to Bruins games on WBZ, which came in clear as a bell, part of the Westinghouse broadcasting system. So I could hear those games really clear, occasionally St. Louis and Dan Kelly, KMOX. So I grew up with play-by-play and using your imagination. Yeah. So to do, still do have a studio element with the point, and then to also call games. Yeah, I mean, this is, it could not be better for me to enjoy work like I do right now.
Was there a moment during the process? Because it was sort of, I mean, we all knew it was probably coming in one way or another. You could read between the lines. Like, was there a moment where you're like, okay, like I can allow myself to get excited about this. Like it's happening. Like it's locked and loaded. Like, was there a run up there?
Not, you know, only like in the last couple of days, because I didn't know what I was going to do. Maybe they didn't want me. Yeah. Maybe I wasn't going to be a part of it. I never assume anything in this business, in this world. So I had, you know, it's great that's coming to ESPN. But if I'm not doing things that I want to do in this business, in this field that we're in, then it doesn't really matter. The truth, you know, ESPN is just the place I work at, you know, it's so. Once I started to realize, and like I said, now it's coming to shape, and I got my schedule for October and November where I'm calling games. I'm calling a Bruins game the day after Thanksgiving. You know, I'm going to, you know, Vegas a couple times, Seattle. So I'll get to call a game in Seattle this year. That's going to be awesome. San Jose, LA. So it's just going to be neat for me just to walk into these arenas and go up to the booth like I have for college the last 8 years. I've been preparing for this. I went to them in 2006. Saying, hey, I'd like to start calling college games. And so that was 15 years ago. And then I went to them at 9 years ago and say, hey, I want to start doing the Frozen Four. And I think they sensed how I really gave the sport a bright light and really covered it. And so it's been a good, you know, kind of, and those, obviously the Frozen Fours, as you know, are in NHL arenas. So I kind of, you know, I had that experience of calling those games there, and just, so it's kind of been a long process. And so yeah, now that everything's kind of mapped out, we'll see what we're doing, you know, and all the plans around the point could become like 5 days a week during the playoffs. Maybe we'll go to the All-Star game with it. Keep getting a lot of amazing content. We just got a bunch of great content at the Players Tour in Chicago. Can't wait to start reeling that out. So yeah, now that it's all here, now I'm really excited and looking forward to the season.
Oh, I was going to say the Players Tour. I just wanted to hop on that thought for a second. Bucci, because one of my favorite events of the year, and A, because everybody's in a great mood, right? Like the players are coming in, they haven't dealt with media in months, maybe in this case longer than that. And, you know, nothing but optimism across the board. Everybody's psyched. You guys are pumped. I always like to get the report on the player that you walked away from being most impressed with, or like really like surprisingly chatty, or like, was there a player that you were like, oh my gosh, I love this guy. I didn't know him that well.
Yeah, it was, there were a lot of them. I think, you know, once they realized, the ESPN, I knew ESPN would give the entire league a little bit of an infusion. I know the players wanted to be on yes. the network. You know, that was part of the optimism was, you know, from the player side, they want to be us to have a piece. So that was where a lot of my optimism was coming from. And so once I got there, we had this giant, like 100-foot video screen on the ice at the Blackhawks practice center. I mean, it was gigantic. I think they sensed kind of the first class, the money, the investment we're making. You know, I was there, Weeks was there. You know, we're talking these players one-on-one, and it's kind of cool because all the college guys know me. Like, you know, Adam Fox walks in, hey, Bucci, what's up? Right. Dylan Larkin, hey, Bucci. Right. It's like, I'm just like, you know, but the other guys, there's kind of like a, and if you go way older, like Joe Thornton, if he walked into it, he would remember me from NHL Tonight. So now there's this kind of, it's kind of fun to meet the Drew Doughtys, the Ryan O'Reilly, those kind of guys who I never really, you know, covered because there's kind of that gap. But I tell you, all the players, I mean, Roman Josi, I mean, he had ESPN growing up in Switzerland. So like he watched me when he was a kid, you know, that was really weird. That was really cool. I didn't expect that. But I mean, I couldn't believe how like, you know, funny and, you know, awesome Ryan O'Reilly and Drew Doughty. We had these questions. We asked everybody the same kinds of silly questions and how good and funny and how hard they tried. And Jack Hughes was just, man, that dude is like an X game athlete. The NHL should push him right in front and go with his youth and his exuberance and his realness. And he is such a unique character. Jason Robertson was awesome. Chychrun was amazing. The players, I think part of it was, like you said, they hadn't talked to really a lot of people face-to-face in a long time. You have the summer off, you're in good shape, you have no injuries, you're tan. And then you feel this infusion of ESPN-TNT combination, because TNT with Barkley and basketball has a bit of a vibe to it. I think that's why the players are really pumped. And I think you could see some really fun, inspired play once the season starts. And they see that TNT banner or ESPN banner, and I think it's gonna translate at least early into some pretty spirited play.
You have the power to do this. We need the Hugheses to become. We had Jim and Alan on here, and they were they're incredible. The confidence those kids exude. Like I've been dealing with all of them for a long time. I remember going to Ann Arbor to see Quinn and talking to him, and I remember he's a freshman in college at that point, and I said we were talking about Jack, and I'm like, you know, I heard he's pretty good, and he says. I said, give me the scouting report on the two of you. He goes, look, he's really good, but if we go into the corner for a puck, I'm getting it. And I'm just started dying. Like, here's a college freshman, you know, like they just ooze confidence and charisma. Like that family is unreal to me.
Yeah, Quinn's quiet. I've recovered him in Michigan for a couple of years. He's a little more stealth. He'll look out of the corner of his eyes. Jack is just straight ahead. He'll say anything. He's so confident, so chill. Like I said, he's like an X-game athlete. I think he's really, really cool. He's going to have a big year this year. And I can't wait to – and Luke just seems kind of – he seems goofier, which is kind of cool. It's almost like there's three distinct personalities, which is really neat. So I can't wait to cover him as well in Michigan. And I'm really hoping they go make a nice big stretch run. I think it'd be good for the sport. It'd be good for a combo. Like I've recommended to ESPN. We should do a Michigan versus whomever played, like a Michigan Ohio State NHL doubleheader. Like, you know, where even maybe a Seattle game where they know they're getting Matty Beniers, you know, the Kraken. So show like a Michigan game, you know, at 7 o'clock and then show a Kraken game at 9. And you know, like push, give college that one night in a Michigan Ohio State brand on ESPN, pump it up. Mm-hmm. We'll pump up all these prospects and then we'll show a Kraken game after. You know, that's where at least Beniers is going, or Sabres or whomever, or a combination from all those first round picks. So I'm hoping that, I think the both sides could use each other for a little hockey marketing this year. But yeah, the Hughes, can't get enough of them right now. I was really impressed with Jack.
Jack's scoring 30 goals this year.
Yeah.
I could see it. Yeah. I thought he had having the bigger year last year after having that long stretch between those two seasons. He got more room in the weight room, but they just weren't that good. But I think he's gonna figure it out.
He had everything but the production, but the finishing last
right,
year.
It's
gonna come. He's looked unbelievable.
I'm all in on the notion of connecting NHL players more to the college. Like if you watch an NFL game, it's like, you know, this University of Michigan product, it's constant. Mm-hmm. And I know it's mostly because this is Canadians in, you know, they're not, the college system is like college sports isn't a big deal up there. So, but like we need to Americanize this and own this so that A, because we need to eradicate junior hockey and make it college hockey is the number one. I mean, that's really my primary goal here.
Yeah, that's our main platform on the show.
Eradicate junior hockey in the CHL hockey. But like, I mean, just when you're introducing the players from Michigan State University, you know, whoever, or University of Michigan, Dylan Larkin, and you don't see that. So that's, you need to work. I know you will. I'm preaching to the choir here.
Yeah, right. I need to be careful not to overdo it, but you'll definitely hear a few drops. I'm already prepared for night one, Mason Appleton, to get a Michigan State drop right away for some Spartan. Just to tie the player a little bit with somebody watching. They hear that. They're going to start to focus on him a little bit more. Yes. It's a small connection. Keep it subtle. Don't beat him over the head with it. But certainly once a broadcast, you're going to hear a couple guys and where they went just in the flow of the game. Because I agree. I do think it's important for both, as you know, Canadian kids play college hockey, Cale Makar going to UMass and transforming that program to a national power where it is again now. And so it's a cool little thing. I did that with college basketball growing up. In the NBA, I could name every player where they went to college in the NBA on the 1982 sure. Atlanta Hawks. You know, Tree Rollins went to Clemson. I still remember that. You know, you don't forget stuff like that.
It sounds like the Chicago event is pretty good. You got some arrows in the quiver for the point. It seems like a big point of the point is to, you know, sell some human interest stuff and maybe help fans connect with the players on a more personal level and show what they're about. I mean, this is a league, I mean, frankly, that hasn't always been great with that. And I think there was a dearth of that in the past, you know, being able to see what these guys are about off the ice and knowing who they are as people. And it seems like that's a focal point, you know, a focal point of the show, right?
Yeah. Andy Tennant is obviously the executive brains behind it. He's 60. And obviously our sports center, you know, in-depth stories that we do. And, that's kind of the goal is to do that. And we got a lot of great content in Chicago. Sat down with Nathan MacKinnon, asked him to eat a Kit Kat. He did not. He declined. I said, Nathan, I'll do it with you. We can have this bite of Kit Kat together. But he wanted to kind of put that story to rest, unfortunately. But sat down with Crosby for 15 minutes and had this fun little Q&A with Alexander Ovechkin. That was the cool thing about Ovechkin. What we did at the end, the last thing we did when we asked those guys, we had them look right into the camera, kind of like NFL show that they did. I think they were the first really to do it when that series when all the Super Bowl champions they do, where they look right in the camera for the whole show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I watch them every time they're on. They're amazing. I can't remember the name.
Football Life?
Football Life, and then the team one, when the team wins the Super Bowl and they go back four guys a team. So we had them do that. We asked them all the same question. The last thing we did, we had them put a set of headphones on and said, we're going to play you some music. A, do you know what it is and do you like it? And it was the ESPN hockey music, you know, the theme music. Would they remember? And obviously some people knew right away. Some of the Canadian players were like, is this a football music? They didn't know it. They're not familiar with the music yet. But the biggest surprise was, you know, Ovechkin puts the headphones on, music's playing for 10 seconds. I go, he goes, what do you think? He goes, he says, do you like it? Yeah, I like it. He goes, ESPN hockey music. I go, I said, you know that music? Because I mean, he never played when ESPN had hockey. He goes, of course I know that music. It was like, wow, that really surprised me. And I think it shows you, he sees everything. Like he's a huge hockey nerd. And I love that about him. Like he knows what's going on. It means everything to him. He pay attention to everything, especially when he was young and he really wanted to Americanize himself quickly, which I always thought was an endearing quality of him. Like it was Jaromír Jágr. how they really loved America. I thought that was really cool. And all the things America had to offer, you know, all the fun and the great TV spots Ovechkin did as a young guy. I always thought that was very cool of him. And so, yeah, when he's, of course I know that music. Like, okay, I love it.
I mean, he's the star of one of the great This Is SportsCenter commercials, right? With him and Varlamov.
And that's
top five for sure. Yeah.
He was 24 years old, so I heard he was coming in to do that spot. So I asked, hey, is it okay if I get a quick 5 minutes with him? Because that's when I was writing, you know, an ESPN.com column on a weekly basis, and I know how hard that is to get content every week during a hockey season. Mm-hmm. So he was 24, and I asked him, you know, do you think you have a chance to break Wayne Gretzky's record? And at this point, he's 24. I'm sure he's never heard that question yet, because I had just kind of done the math and I projected forward. And I just felt with his body and everything that he had a chance. And so, again, doing this little Q&A with him with this camera, I said, how many goals does Wayne Gretzky have? He said, 892. I go, 894, pretty close. You know, he's in the area. I go, how many do you have? You know, and he said 726. Or 730. He said 730. He said each number individually. I thought that was kind of cool.
and then he actually recited every goal he'd ever had. Like, he's like, I should have 738.
I said, do you remember the first person who asked you if you had a shot to break it? He goes, you. I was like, oh, and I just can't believe he would remember that, or just because I'm kind of way in the periphery of hockey ever since, obviously, it left ESPN. And right. So that was just really cool how he definitely pays attention. It would mean the world to him. No doubt in my mind, he wants to break it for himself, for his family, for his country. And I think it's going to be a fascinating watch. I think it's, you know, because we don't have this hockey. Really, every sport hasn't really had this march to, you know, record breaking, this huge record break. I think baseball is really the last one to have it. Right. Football, they don't care, which is one of the reasons why football is so successful. They don't get bogged down with records. Brady's going to pass Brees this Sunday, but that's about the 10th thing, most interesting thing about the game this weekend is him passing Drew Brees with a passing yardage record, you know. Mm-hmm. But this one, for him to chase Gretzky, I mean, I think it's the biggest one since Aaron chasing Ruth. Like, there's nothing compares it to that. That's how big this is going to be over these next 3, 4, 5 years. It's going to be fun to watch.
Well, because nobody besides you back in whatever 1998 or whatever that was, nobody thought this was a thing. Like, there was a few things that were untouchable, and now you sit there and go, this guy's not slowing down. And he's clearly on a mission to do this. You're right. It's going to be like Maguire, Sosa, or whatever, you know, Ripken's streak. It's going to become an international story as he gets closer. I never even paused to think about that.
No, this is what I tell people, like, because I projected, you know, back then I projected to the age of 40, and I started having him right in front of me now. And right now he has 730 as he enters his 35-year-old season. And back then I projected him with 37 goals this year. Certainly seems plausible. 32 next year, down 5 more. At age 37, I have him popping in 40 because both Phil Esposito and Brendan Shanahan had 40 goal seasons at age 37. It's like, you know, and that's a historical, pretty good historical comparison. You know, a guy's big guy close to the net, which Ovi will get closer to the net as he ages. And Shanahan, a good right-handed shot. Slap shots don't age. He'll always have that slap shot till he's 50, you know. And then at age 38, he gets 32 goals. Hall had 37 goals at age 38. Again, I get him with only 32. And then 28 at age 39. 27 at age 40. So just 37, 32, a 40, 32, 28, 27. That gets into 926 when he's 40 years old. Forget 895. I tell people, a couple of years ago before the pandemic and everything, I'd be more shocked he doesn't get to 1,000 than I would be that he doesn't break Gretzky's record. You know, if he plays to 43 and he doesn't get hurt, he's got a chance for 1,000.
Well, because he doesn't get hurt, and he already adjusted
knock
once.
On wood.
I mean, we had that. Yeah, I guess that's true. But we had that. I mean, what, it's five, six years ago, where it seemed like he was maybe on the wrong side of the aging curve and all that stuff. And he adapted, and now he's in another run here.
And he could tear his quad tomorrow and not do it. That's possible. It's literally possible. We know that.
There was like a group of stories of like how the league had figured out Alex Ovechkin. Do you remember that one month window where it was like, oh, you just can't let him shoot through your legs if you're the defense, whatever it was. There was some random
And then I would tweet out warning, he gets them in bunches, and he got like 18 and 23 games. It's like he gets bunches.
as long as he doesn't have Dale Hunter come back and play him on right wing and make him, you know, try to make him into, you know, Mark Stone or whatever. Like he'll be.
Oh my gosh, Bucci! I want to know if you back in your projections, if you were like, there might be a global pandemic in 2020, so we got to factor that in.
I did not see that coming.
Okay, all right.
In the words of Chevy Chase,
you've done your homework.
Yeah.
Every 100 years,
it's a fail on my part.
Can we make the point like a video version with the vibes of your ESPN column back in the day? Because that was like that was appointment reading for a whole lot of people. You got to bring some of that energy to the show.
Yeah, that was 2001 when that started, and I knew at the time there really wasn't like that kind of fun pop culture-y hockey column out there. I kind of sensed a vacuum back then, you know. Mm-hmm. 20 years ago now. Wow, that was 20 years ago. And so I just kind of wanted to kind of introduce some of that. And then, yeah, from there. And I think I kind of, that's what Twitter kind of became for me, a way to, you know, the Bucci overtime challenge stuff, occasional observation on a player, which I love to do. I just love to celebrate the talents of players, especially subtle talents. And then, of course, college hockey came along. So Twitter's kind of become my, like you said, kind of a video, not all video. There's obviously some text. That's why I like Twitter, because I do like the written word. I like reading. And it's my newspaper. It's my daily. That's what Twitter is for me. It's been nothing but positive. I know people talk about the evils of social media and Twitter. But if you have a thick skin and you can take criticism, I love Twitter. It's enhanced my life. I've met people. I've read amazing articles. I've got incredible hockey content like I never have in my life. Like it's a great vehicle for me, and I use it to read and to try to get better and get informed. So yeah, that's kind of the place where it's the only thing I don't get paid for that. There's no income stream.
Yeah, Twitter's making money off of all of us.
Yeah, it's our Peace Corps work. It's our digital Peace Corps work. Like it's like
yes,
thank you. Yeah, you know, I don't get paid for this. You know, why are you chirping me on my college hockey top 10? This is I'm just providing a service to hype up the game. I'm a hype man.
Anything that we all volunteer for Jack Dorsey or whoever makes money off Twitter. I don't even know
who that would be. I didn't buy the stock back then.
How much time do you spend shipping things out? That's what I want to know. I feel like you're always shipping out shirts, and I'm like, you must start your day like with a giant truckload to UPS.
Not quite that much. Like I have four orders right now that I'm a little behind. I have a little behind on. So after we're done, I got my t-shirts and hats in the attic. I'll put four. There's four packages of different combinations. Someone bought a onesie for their baby. Always love that. Bucci Overtime Challenge onesie. And then, yeah, so then I kind of plan my day around it where I'll go to the post office, drop them off. I go to the gym, then I go to the grocery store, then I come home. So that's kind of like my daily lap where it's post office, gym, supermarket. Because I like to cook much amount of food or cook breakfast, and I help my parents out. So that's my daily lap. And obviously having a job at night, it's nice. You can, you know, you have your days all the time. So
yeah,
that's kind of my daily routine lap. But obviously during the playoffs, it gets really, that's when I can go with 10, 20 packages. But during the, otherwise it's a nice little trickle here or there.
All right. We want to get some scouting reports on some of your new coworkers.
Sure.
Like what can we expect from Messier? What's he going to be like as an analyst in 2021?
Yeah. Day one in Chicago, we all met as a group, ESPN group. That was the first day. Then I just stuck around. Most people then just went home either that night or early the next day. And I stuck around for the player stuff. They asked me to stand. I stuck around. I actually went with low expectations. I'm so glad I stayed for the stuff we talked about, meeting the players, getting their vibes and meeting them in person. And it's invaluable, as you guys know. That's why you have to be in locker rooms and you have to meet them face to face. So just to see everybody there day one, Mess and Chelios and everybody, but yeah, you don't know for sure. You hope his competitive juices flow. You hope he watches all the games, because you got to watch the games to be a good analyst for the most part. Almost everybody, Barkley doesn't have to, but Charles is an entertainment freak. I was just at a charity event with him and him, and it was like an after hours, so just kind of like the celebrities were there, and David Pastrnak was there, and Barkley was there, and just to hear them go back and forth. It was hysterical. And you know, Charles knows hockey, and obviously Pastrnak knows who Barkley is. So that was really cool. So it's just, you know, but you know, Charles got a gift. He just puts on, it's a one man show every time he's in a room. It's so fun. But so I hope Ness brings it, and that he looks at TNT as a rival. That's what's kind of the, maybe, I don't know, underreported from your side of things, but just having a rival. We haven't had a rival to kind of compete with in hockey. You know, yes, it's been a cheap enough product. One guy, one network can buy the whole thing. So I think that's a cool part of it. And I think we'll push both sides, and I hope push the analysts, especially in studio, because that's a tough job and you don't have a lot of time and you got to be good and short bits and entertaining and funny and serious. And this is putting him in a position to win. So I'm hoping we put him in a good position to win, him and Chelios. So I won't be in studio much intermission with them, but occasionally, I think week two, I am. We're for Seattle's first home game that we're showing. I'll be in with them. So I'm looking forward to doing that and doing my part to push him to be great.
Chelly, what's his breakdown?
Yeah, we had him at the World Cup. So, you know, he's not afraid. He'll say anything. Yeah. So he'll say anything, which is good. I don't know if Mess quite has that instinct yet to let it fly like that. I hope so, but Chelly certainly does. And so that could be a good thing. He's not, you know, a good informed, hard piece of criticism, and that is good TV. It's just good. You know, we see, and funny, it all goes together. We see what the Mannings are doing together and how funny they are and how, you know, smart they are. You learn something, you laugh, self-deprecating. They connect with people in an amazing, talented way. It's probably why they're good quarterbacks too. They do that with their teammates in person, but you see that great gift they have. And and that's part of it. And that part of that's natural. Part of it's learned. You can get better. But again, you got to take it seriously. You can, you know, you got to want to be great. You got to want to be on TV. Yeah. You got to make that split. And that's, some people can't, and they don't do very well. Some people do, and they can be great at it.
Who would be the hockey equivalent of those two? Like, that's such a great, the breakthrough with that broadcast with the Manning brothers.
It is.
It's unbelievable. And I'm just sitting here going, how do you rip that off in hockey?
I've watched three straight weeks of it. Like, it's
unreal.
Like, the standard for me at this
The first time I saw it was last night, because I was busy the previous Mondays. I was out and about, so it was the first time I really watched it in real time, and not the greatest hits loop that makes anybody look good. Your resume tape, real. But that's a good question on who would that be. You know, I think Hall would be really good at that, you know, because he's so funny and telegenic, and he bursts through a TV. And if you get maybe someone who's a little, you know, a little tighter, like, you know, because Peyton is so technical. And I mean, Eli's very good too. You can tell he's very bright, but Peyton's that perfect package of detail oriented showman. Like, he's really good on TV. Obviously, his show on ESPN Plus, Peyton's Places, it's like my favorite show on television. It reminds me of the NFL film stuff as a kid. Why I, you know, fell in love with sports with the amazing TV production This Week in Baseball. Or, you know, Peter Puck when I was a real little kid growing up in Pennsylvania. Those things, that's how you hook people in. And Hall would certainly could be one part of it, of that team. But then that, it would be interesting to see if other sports start to have basically their watch parties. Those things were becoming popular on Twitter. You know, we saw, you know, Barstool was doing that, and where they just have a group of people watch a game. Some people will watch people watch a game, you know. And now the thing with Manning's that's put it above is that we can show the game because we have the rights. You know, those other places, go someone, watch someone on YouTube, watch a Maple Leaf game. That's not going to really do
it
for me.
Not quite the same.
Not quite the same. So you have the right.
Sorry, Steve Dangle. Yeah.
And so I could see TNT maybe one night, maybe offering counter programming, show Charles Barkley watching a game with, you know, maybe a writer, and then maybe with someone else, maybe with Gretzky. That's one of his appearances.
Pasternak.
You know, or a player on an off night. Right, Pasternak. Just bring a player on his off night like they do with Matthew Stafford and Russell Wilson, and then you have those three watch a game somewhere else, and or you could have them watch it, tape the whole thing, then show the greatest hits from them watching. That might be a good first step to do it. Not don't show the whole thing, just record it like we're recording, and then show back the best parts of it. And that could be something that ESPN or TNT decide to do. I think I just gave another idea.
I was going to say Turner. I hope the Turner execs are listening and taking notes, because I think you just gave him $1 million idea.
Work Chris Jericho in there. He's already on TNT. You can get some of the wrestling guys in there. We're strengthening the competition.
Well, there's no doubt, as you know, when someone's successful at something like this, there's going to be copycat. You're going to copy because it's smart. I mean, that's a way to do it, because it could be a winning formula for sports and for television. Everyone's always looking for it in this day and age of a million pieces of entertainment out there. If that's a new thing, it could become a thing for a while. Then it might go away, or there's no doubt someone else will try to copy it or mimic it in other ways. And of course, we can do it at ESPN because we have so many networks. We have so many, you know, outlets. Yeah. We could do it. We could do it on ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Plus, and give those things a try, because there's limitless inventory for us and space to do it.
Yeah, you guys have unlimited bandwidth because of ESPN Plus. Like, right. is that an exciting thing to be part of? I mean, that's just it's God Almighty. It's changed in a million ways since the last time you guys had the rights. But I mean, you talk about simulcasts and watch parties. I mean, that seems like a great space for it.
It does. And I was going to actually mention to our suits that, hey, this is something, maybe why don't we try this on Plus one night where, whoever, me and Melrose sit and just watch a game and someone else, like absolutely. You said, and bring one of our, we have all these analysts, bring John Tortorella up and you just, hey, you're going to come up and watch a game with Melrose and Bucci. And we're just going to kind of talk about it all game long. You know, not play, just talk about it. And that, you know, people would watch it.
That'd be a good spot for DiPietro. I think he's going to be really good.
I agree. He was at that meeting and I like him because he's fearless too. Like I'm a big believer in him too. I'm looking forward to getting a chance to work with him. Cause he's not afraid. He's not intimidated, not afraid. And that's important in TV. It's not that big a deal. It's just television. I always tell people you're better off not caring than caring too much. You got to be yourself. You got to be loose. And that's what all these people, I always, push them in that direction. When Keith Jones first started with us after he had to retire because of his knee, and man, was he nervous that first night. He was sweating. He's like, man, I thought this was a lot easier. It looked a lot easier than it actually is, but he went back to Philly, got his reps in, like Jonesy, as a player, he figured it out. And now he's had an amazing career. Now he's with TNT as well. So, there are limited, but yeah, the NHL.tv part, coming to ESPN Plus. I think so many fans still don't realize that's happening. But also the fact that, come October and some guy wants to watch his Bruins game and he realizes they're on ESPN Plus and he has no idea what that is. There's going to be some hiccups like that where they're calling their sons and daughters asking, what's ESPN Plus? How do I get this on my TV? Well, Dad, it could take a while. We might need a Fire Stick. Might need a Roku. but we can get it done. So yeah, I've been pushing for public service announcements for us at ESPN to try to make sure we get the word out.
We'll do our part. We'll teach people how to get the Fire Stick plugged in. Yes. Bucci, I think we blew past our 10-minute limit here.
I'm sorry.
We wanted to. No, this was awesome. Thanks for doing this, man. It was awesome.
We're
so thrilled about everything. I don't know if people are going to realize what this means in the States to hockey, but we do. I think Sean and I really, in the second it was announced, it's all we could talk about, and couldn't be happier for ESPN in the sport. Like it's going to be amazing.
Well, it's going to be great seeing you guys on the road, hopefully at big events. That's the best part, is the friends you make in this business. The dinners are so much fun, and the stories you can trade and information we can give each other to help do our jobs better. But no, you guys got a great product. You're making the sport better, and thanks for having me on. Big thrill.
All right, Bucci. Take care.
Take care. Thanks.
See you, Sean. See you, Craig.
That was a great chat with John, who always, like, he talks about, being terrified on TV and all that. That was me when I was starting at ESPN, and they'd bring us all in for trade deadline stuff, and he was the host, and I would be mortified. And my goal was not to say anything that would end up being noticed by anybody, which, as it turns out, doesn't make for great television, I would say.
Did you ever accidentally say point 100 times in 15 seconds? Did you ever do that on TV?
No. But he was kind and always compliment. Like, he was just great. Like, made you super comfortable.
By the way, we should have. I mean, whatever. We're this is the TV segment. Shout out to Tarek.
Yes.
Tarek's on TV.
Great. Tarek's a pro. He's been doing the Comcast stuff in the past. Like, he's going to be awesome for Turner. Like, both ESPN and Turner's done a great job, I think. Yeah.
Good groups. I'm excited about it. I'm actually gonna just watch the doubleheader on Thursday and just like write off it and just be like, here's what fans can expect. Yeah, I'm excited for it.
All right, let's take a quick break and then we're gonna wrap up, talk a little fantasy hockey. You may or may not know this. Sean and I have been co-owners in fantasy hockey for over a decade. And
minimal
nobody
success.
Likes, I imagine with little to no success. And I know everybody loves to hear about other people's fantasy hockey teams. No, we've got actual real things to talk about. We'll be right back.
We still want to talk about Office Pools. Yes, they're a sponsor of the show, but we're getting involved. If you didn't hear the ad, and some of you certainly didn't, because we know everybody listens on the Athletic app, right?
That's right.
Right? Nobody listens on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Mm-mm. It's all on the app. But if you do listen to the app, you didn't hear the ad. So the bullet point is kind of this. We're teaming up with Office Pools to have Craig, it's a full on the Athletic hockey pool that they're powering, right? You guys can compete against us and probably beat us, because we're not very good at this.
Surprisingly bad, which I don't know what that says about our. Here's what we, Sean and I, in doing it together for a decade, and as fantasy pool, our fantasy hockey co-owners, we always go in with the mindset we're just going to go and get the steady veteran. You know what Jeff Carter's going to do every year. That was, he became our, like, we just need to get a 10 Jeff Carters. And we always end up walking out of the auction with team upside. And so, like, it's always like, hey, Jack Hughes and you know, Lafreniere took last year in shocker, didn't work out. Because it never works out in year one. Svechnikov, year too early. We do it every year because we like young players, I guess.
Every year, we're a year too early. We had Hughes at one point.
And yeah.
A year too early. Or Hischier, too early. We had Hischier as a rookie, and he was like, whatever, he was fine, and we paid way too much money for him. So this, I think this is good though. I think we're in good shape here, you and I. And the plan,
yes.
And the plan is to have a team together. The sign up information is in the show notes. It's through officepools.com. If you go to officepools.com and search the Athletic, you will be able to join the group. But the crux of it is this: is that we have these preset groups that our friends at Office Pools put together, each kind of with a theme. And all you have to do is pick one from each. And whoever has the best, you know, whoever has the best team based on like pretty standard point scoring wins.
Yeah. It's almost like those like Twitter memes where it's like, hey, you get to pick one from each box, you know, which candy bar or whatever. It's the fantasy hockey version of that. So Sean, first of all, Haley, I heard like Haley and Ian were already talking trash, and I don't like it.
I don't listen to their show. I've heard good things. They seem like very talented, nice people.
We're gonna have to do, but like, I want to talk trash, but I also know our track record in fantasy hockey is middling at best.
No, so that's it. Come on, you can suck at fantasy sports and still talk. You know, talk crap. It's easy.
So
it's fine. That's what makes it fun.
So no team upside this year, Sean.
No,
you and I.
No.
We'll go over who we're gonna pick and who
we're picking
like.
We're picking a bunch of 33-year-olds. That's what we're doing.
All right. Let's start in my, because I do like that. There's one that's got my name in it. So one of the boxes is called the Craig Custin Center, because you know, I was a lot of people don't know this about me. A tier two center. I can't skate.
You were a center on the freshman football team at
that's right. It was
Gross Point High or whatever.
First of all, I did not go to any Gross Point High. but I married someone from Gross Point. It's a long story that nobody wants to hear. Here's the thing. So I kind of view myself as a two-way center. So I really, whoever set this up, I appreciate this. Like, if I were to be an NHL player, I would be somebody from this group, like a very responsible, you win championships with me, I would say.
You're setting me up here. Okay, go ahead.
What? All right. No, so
just go.
So in the box that you can, the Craig Custin Center, it's Barzal, Kopitar, O'Reilly, Point, Strome, and Tavares. And so if we're going to pick our theme, we don't have to pick now, but who of that guy fits? We're not doing team upside. So I know it goes against everything we believe, and I know who we'd want to pick normally. You and I are
We're
both dying to take Barzal. Though.
Just pick Barzal. Let's just do it. We gotta do it.
Oh my gosh. So, all right. I'm glad we agree. That's who we have to take there. I mean, you have to, right?
O'Reilly's a fantasy beast. We just heard Bucci talk about him for a while. Like, in this scoring setup, you know, he's pretty solid. I don't know. I like, we have to discuss this, honestly.
All right, we'll discuss it. Sean, why don't you tell us about the section of the sheet you're on?
All right, so as Craig said, his group of players embodies the sort of guy he would be on an NHL roster. Mm-hmm. And so do mine, because I got the shit disturbers.
Who set this up? This is so perfect.
I don't know. I was left out of the loop until one of the co-hosts of the Monday show informed me of this development. I got the penalty minute guys. Mm-hmm. Penalty minutes don't count in this, except for this group of players. And again, you pick one. And it's the guys who, you know, start trouble and also can play. Sam Bennett, Pierre-Luc Dubois, who is a very sneaky, dirty player. Both Tkachuks.
Oh, perfect.
Evander Kane, who isn't on my roster either. And your friend and mine, Tommy Wilson.
Who you must have written about 20 times last season, Tom Wilson. You got a lot of mileage on that.
I ended up on the lead because of Tom Wilson. Seriously.
Listen to that podcast. Listen to the lead. It was great. Yep. That was actually really good, Sean. I say actually,
thank you.
Pleasantly surprised that you pulled the lead off as well as you did.
They much like producer Jeff, found a way to make me sound significantly more intelligent than I actually am.
Oh my gosh.
You got to go Wilson here, I think. But failing that, Matt Tkachuk.
Well,
I think he's going to be better this year than last.
Do we try to do this and make him all pick all Americans?
We
can't. And there's no good two-way American center, sadly, in the Craig Custance box.
But yeah, since Jack Eichel's, you know. Is he even in the group? No, he's not even on the board.
No.
Yeah, we got to. Okay, that's fine. We got to go American when we can.
We can lean American. That's fine. We don't want to lose either. So, anyways, we're gonna compete in this. Join us. It'll be fun. I'm really looking forward to this. You're gonna beat Sean and I most likely if history is any indication.
And there are 4, 8, 12, 16, 20, 24 different categories. So it's all like, you know, the Craig Custance group, the, you know, Gentile's team of jerk-offs, Salvi and Fire.
That's what they call the Gentile one? That's surprising.
That could be a note by me. That could be an editorialization. McIndoe's meal. You know what? I think that's actually kind of BS. McIndoe got the McDavid-McKinnon group. So you can only have one of those guys. You got to choose between the two. Gets named after DGB, of course.
He is a superstar. He's one of a kind. I don't think that's wrong. Who does what he does?
He's the Connor McDavid of the Athletic NHL, is he? Yeah.
I don't know. Yes.
And I am the Brady Tkachuk.
You are. All right. Let's wrap this thing up. Before we go, I do want to plug Ian and Haley's show, because they had Joel Quenneville on, and the Panthers are an interesting, you know, they dipped into American waters to talk about the Panthers, man. And had Joel on. I didn't love that, but whatever.
Stay out of our territory. It's really good. Those two did a great job with that. And Quenneville, it's just funny to hear how like relaxed he sounded. I think in that environment, he sounded about as chill and as open as you're going to get him. They did a great job.
We also want to remind listeners, Sean and I check out the comments section on the Athletic app after every show. We want your feedback, your thoughts. Bruno weighed in. We talked a little bit about the RFA situation, and then everybody signed minutes after we posted the podcast. Bruno says,
egregiously wrong, by the way, me, in over a couple things. I was like, maybe Kaprizov doesn't sign just yet. And he signed almost immediately. It was within an hour or two of the app going up.
Well, it's hard to say now. There's no way of knowing really what you said. Bruno says, regarding Tkachuk, I think he's happy with the money the Senators are offering, but he doesn't want to sign for 8 years because he probably wants to have the option to sign elsewhere sooner rather than later.
No, I think we made that distinction, though. Like that's the Godfather offer. It's 8 years and $64 million. Like, whether he wants more money or wants less years or it's immaterial. Like that is the biggest long, you know, the biggest money most year that he's going to see from Ottawa. Like you can quibble around the margins and debate, you know, why that situation is where it is. But if he wanted to be there, he would have signed it already, and they're not going to do any better than that.
No. And then one last reminder, if you want to subscribe to The Athletic, this is a good time to do it before the season starts, because we're flooding the zone with hockey coverage. 50% off if you go to theathletic.com/hockeyshow. That's half off at theathletic.com/hockeyshow. Sign up if you're not. I've seen what's coming. It's going to be amazing. Sean, great chat. Good energy today out of you and Bucci. Thanks, John, for doing this too. Bucci was great.
Point.